This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 31st, 2021, Septuagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
And at once his fame spread everywhere.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
His fame spread everywhere. Why? We just didn't hear the story of him changing the water into wine. We haven't heard of any miracle, a raising of the dead, or him walking on water, but his fame spread everywhere. Why? Because he cast out demons. If our Lord Jesus Christ was anything, during his earthly ministry, he was an exorcist. It is from cover to cover in the Gospels of our Lord continuously casting out demons. That was just for sick people. That's what that means. No, because the scripture said he healed the sick and he cast out demons. Demons are real. Satan is real. Contrary to the presentation of our times, they're never spoken of. If you bring them up, there is ridicule. There is, from high echelons in the church, denial of demonic presence and influence. It is real. This is not a homily on demonology per se, who they are, what they can do, what they can't. It's a presentation of the reality of a situation that existed then, that continues to exist now. You know, this is not, well, that's Old Testament mythology. This is all New Testament stuff. Some of it that was after our Lord's ascension into heaven. After the establishment of the church, the reality of demons and Satan's activity in this world. We have to understand this is not a lesson of history. This is something that we need to appreciate. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in Ephesians chapter 6 that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits of wickedness. Demons. This is our struggle. We see this in the confrontation. There's some things in this confrontation between our Lord Jesus Christ and demons that we can learn many things foundationally about this struggle and what we can do to arm ourselves against it. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say one thing to just his mere presence. Just his mere presence has the demons come to him and this man. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. When the demon presents this witness to our Lord, we have to understand a couple things. One, when it's, I know who you are, the Holy Son of, I am of the school of thought, many of the early church fathers with it, the demons did not actually know that Jesus was God until the Garden of Gethsemane. You can actually see, I'm not going to get into a different subject for a different day, but after the Garden of Gethsemane, the demons changed their tactics toward our Lord. Before that, and again, the word that is used, we know who you are, the Holy One of God, that can be translated, we suspect who you are, we suppose who you may be, we think you might be, but not sure. We see this in our Lord's temptation in the wilderness. For the 40 days, every temptation is, you're the Son of God, do this, do that. Well, how does he formulate the question? If you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do that. They're tempting, not in just doing the things that they're asking him to do, but they're tempting him to let them know who he is, and it's not going to be done yet. We see our Lord throughout the Gospels prohibiting demons, prohibiting his apostles to say who he is. It's not time yet. When our Lord says to the demons as soon as they bear witness to him, you know, you think about it, think about this one. You know, these people know that this man is demonized. They know he's possessed. Why not let Jesus go, yes, look, everyone, the demons. You know this guy's demon. I know he has demons. Look at their subject to me. They know who I am, the Holy One of God. What does Jesus say as soon as he utters those words? Be silent. Come out of him. Actually, that is not a good translation. Jesus is much more direct. That's kind of a churching up kind of thing. Be silent. Jesus says, shut your mouth. Shut up. Our Lord commands the demon to shut up immediately. Don't say another word. Our Lord will not tolerate demons bearing witness to him. If he didn't tolerate his apostles bearing witness to him or people he cured, how much less is he going to allow demons to witness to him? He also teaches us something of that whole thing. Shut your mouth. We are not to listen to anything that they say, even if it's true. Is Jesus the Holy One of God? Absolutely. But this is how Satan works. He is more subtle than any beast of the field. He will tell you the truth, and then there's a little twist, or it's presented out of context. This is how it started in the garden. Has God really said? And he repeats what God said. And he, yeah, that's what he said. Think about that for a second. What is he doing? That's how it works. He told the truth, but he skews it. When our Lord is being tempted in the desert, hey, if you're the Son of God, climb up on that tower and cast yourself off. Prove to everybody, because it says in the scriptures that he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, that you not dash your foot against a stone. That's exactly what the scriptures say. But it's presented as a temptation. And Jesus won't have it. Be gone, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. He will tell you the truth. He'll give you enough truth to hang yourself. This is Protestantism, for instance. They're holy people. They love Jesus. They do that. Are they? All kinds of truth. Deprived of the sacraments that give life. They don't have a priesthood. They don't have a life-giving sacraments. They don't eat his flesh and drink his blood. And our Lord said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Just enough truth. Just enough truth to make you comfortable, and then you do your own thing like Eve did. This is how Satan works. This is subtlety. This is why it is so soul-destroying that we live in a time where the demonic is denied. I mean, I know from my own life experiences that if people don't know you're there, it can be to their detriment. When I was in the military, when I was on the SWAT team for years, my end-all, be-all goal was to not let them know I was there. I have watched bad guys' lives end because they didn't know we were there. And they acted like we weren't there, and it was to their demise. We don't want that to happen to us spiritually. You don't want this invisible enemy that you deny or don't know about being the instrument of your demise. And you must be very, very careful. And our Lord Jesus tells that demon to shut up and to leave the man. He says, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, he left him. So the earlier English version, it says, tearing him. There was no injury to this man. We know that from the Gospel of Luke, that the man was uninjured. Satan made a big production about leaving him. He laid on the ground. He writhed around. He foamed at the mouth. He screamed. Kind of interesting how that screaming thing. Jesus said, shut up. Don't say another word. He doesn't say another word. He doesn't argue with Jesus. He doesn't curse Jesus when he's going out. He screams because he can't say anything because Jesus prohibited him from doing so. And all the big show and all the production was completely ineffective. The man was not injured and Satan leaves him. This is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were all amazed with the authority that he commanded even unclean spirits and they obey him. We don't have things in scripture to just present how cool Jesus was and could rebuke demons and things like that. This is something that is very, very pertinent to our spiritual lives. St. Gregory the Great, when he was writing to catechumens, he said, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, stand fast in justice and fear and prepare thy soul for temptation. This is the reality of the struggle. This is spiritual warfare. We have to fight. That whole spiritual warfare thing, it sounds so cool. It's fighting and it hurts and it's hard. It's arduous and it doesn't end till you die. And that just means if you do it right, you go to heaven. But if you don't, you are taken prisoner by this enemy, and you don't want that. It is part and parcel of our Catholic lives to fight against the demonic. That is real. Oh, my guardian angel, I don't believe in demons. That's ridiculous. You can't have one without the other because that's what demons are. They're angels who have fallen. And just like your guardian protects you, they are trying to hurt you. But this is not Hollywood. I was saying before about you are most dangerous to your enemy when he doesn't know you're there. You can do all kinds of things. You can prepare everything. And then you spring on him. And he's clueless. He cannot react. This is not Hollywood, as I said. Hey, I think we need a priest to do an exorcism. A priest walks in that house and there's somebody like stuck to the ceiling and their head's spinning around all the stuff you see on TV, you know, like that. It's like, oh yeah, there's a problem. And then the church takes care of it. The hardest thing about an exorcism is to determine as to whether one needs to be done or not. Because Satan does everything he can to keep himself on the down low. Everything. He will allow a possessed person to receive the sacraments. You can receive communion and be possessed by a demon. You can go to confession, be possessed by a demon, because they will hang back. Because, well, if they see that he can do that, she can do that, they won't think I'm here. And then when they leave, it starts again. This is how he works. This is why he's referred to as being more subtle than any beast of the field. The Roman Catechism says that we have to pay attention to our own sin because our own sin and temptations are bad enough, right? The Catechism says, in addition to our inward conflicts, sins, are added the external assaults and attacks of demons who both assail us openly and also insinuate themselves by stratagem into our souls, so much so that it is only with great difficulty that we can escape them. Demons are subtle. They're not dramatic. They don't make you crawl on the ceiling. What's that? That doesn't gain anybody anything if you're a demon. They try to stay out of sight, out of mind to everybody else but the possessed person. They use circumstances. They use circumstances to get you away from the life-giving sacraments, from the church. You know, I just pointed out your Protestantism. Prime example. How dare you say that about it? That's how they work. I have seen people leave the church because they had a child that died. Because all they ever hear about is grace and mercy, grace and mercy. And then all of a sudden, God's not gracious and he's not merciful. And so this isn't real. And they leave the church and their souls are in danger of hell because of that. And Satan's belly laughing over the whole thing. Look around us. the very times in which we live. I'm an amateur historian, but it doesn't even take an amateur historian to look at history. About every 100 years or so, there's a pandemic or a plague or an earthquake and something like that. Look at what has happened in this. Look at what has happened the past year. A chest cold, a glorified chest cold. And yeah, it's dangerous for 1.5. And that's a very liberal estimate. Something with a mortality rate of 1.5% has shut tens of millions of Catholics out of the church. They were closed for months. No life-giving sacraments. When they open back up, well, we're going to limit the number of people. We're going to make it look like a construction site or a crime scene inside. You can only sit here. You can only sit there. Do this. Sacrilege in the way our Lord is presented. Sacrilege in the way the Blessed Sacrament is administered. Large parishes, very large parishes locally, 70% of people not coming back. It's demonic. No, it's not. We're concerned with their health. It's demonic. And it has separated millions of people from the life-giving sacraments of the church. This is how they work. You see it. It's the reality of things. This is why we have to be careful. This is why we have to be on guard. They use circumstances. This is how they work. They don't make you crawl on the ceiling. Make your head spin around. What's that? Why did the demon rage when our Lord cast him out of the man? Why does he rage? Why do you, hey, we don't want to mess with Jesus. We're out of here, Jesus. No problem. Out. Go get somebody else who's not around Jesus. That's easy enough. Why do they rage? Demons know that they're going to spend eternity in hell. There is no hope for thou salvation. They don't have a savior. They are going to hell for all eternity. The only pleasure that they have currently is to trouble, tempt, and if at all possible, possess us. To drag them down with us. It's the only pleasure they have. So when Jesus said, get out of him. Just one soul. It enrages them. We're losing this one. This is the reality of how they work. This is what we have to understand. And I think, you know, is their ultimate end to possess? Again, that sounds so dramatic. But guess what? If they can tempt you to mortal sin, they have you. Their work is done. They've tempted you to mortal sin, cohabitation, living as husband and wife without the sacrament of marriage. Unnatural relationships. But fine, Jesus loves them because they're not. Again, demonic obfuscation, camouflaging of the situation. And once that happens, once you start living in mortal sin and you don't repent, you go to confessional, they go about their business because you're done. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to possess you. They don't have to make you feel bad. You're living your life. You're loving it. And you're going to hell. That's how they work. This is scary. It's scary, but as I said before, this isn't drama. Oh my gosh, I heard this homily. I got to go do deliverance prayers and throw holy water over everything and do that. No, you don't. I mean, they have their place. But you know how you avoid Satan? You stay in a state of grace. You avoid Satan by staying in a state of grace. By going to Mass as much as you can. By going to the confessional regularly and not committing mortal sin, you've got nothing to worry about, because he that is in you is greater than he is in the world. You've got nothing to worry about. St. James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, what deliverance prayer book do I need? Go to Mass. Go to confession. He will flee from you. That's resisting him. Because why? It brings you closer to Jesus. And the closer to Jesus you are, the weaker Satan is. The weaker the demons are. You're strong in the faith. They're weak. This is why they came to Jesus. Oh, what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth, Holy One of God? You come to destroy us? Shut up. Why? They bend the knee to him. You're in union with him if you're in a state of grace. You're part of his body. You're him. The same thing applies in your life. This is what we need to understand, the reality of this whole thing. It's that simple. Like I said, look at what's going on now. People not going to Mass, not availing themselves. They're far from Jesus. They don't even know it. They're far from Jesus. They bought a bill of goods. If I watch it on TV, I'm okay. You don't get one grace from watching Mass on TV. Not one. You're far from Jesus. And you're ripe for attack of Satan. And it's going to happen. Just the reality of things. We need to keep hearing to Jesus. This is what this whole Lenten preparation for these 3 weeks is. For 3 weeks, we prepare for Lent because Lent and all the liturgical seasons are an objective engagement with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have objectively engaged with his passion during Lent. Our fasting, if it's serious. Our works of corporal mercy and penance, if they're serious. They add to this closeness with our Lord Jesus Christ and the weakness of demons. In our times when Satan is discounted and out denied, you need to understand that he is real as you are sitting in that pew right now. I don't like to think about things like that. That's exactly what he wants. Exactly what he wants. You need to think about it. That it doesn't take a tremendous amount of effort, anything over and above what you're doing right now, to stay close to Jesus Christ. But you have to stay close. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.